This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support.
So throughout the church year, we have all sorts of different holidays and important occasions to recognize and lift up different aspects of our faith. And of course, the ones that we are the most familiar with are Christmas and Easter. But there are also these other days throughout the church year, days that don't get as much fanfare and attention, but in many ways are just as important. And today is one of those days. Today is what is known as Holy Trinity Sunday. It's where we recognize that the God that we experience, the God of the Bible, is one God come to us in three parts. Now, this has often been a difficult concept for many Christians to grasp and wrap their heads around because two of these parts are clear, easily understandable, but one of these parts is a little more difficult to wrap our heads around, a little more mysterious, if you will. We, of course, understand and know what the Father is. The Father is the architect, the creator of the universe. And of course, we know and we spend a lot of time talking about what the Son is, Jesus, who died and rose again for our sins. But the third aspect of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is often much more difficult to define. And so today I want to spend some time talking about the Holy Spirit, unpacking the Holy Spirit in such a way that hopefully helps you understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and how to make it a part of your daily life. You see, to simply understand God as the Father or as the Son can almost make God like a vending machine. Now, you all have gone to a vending machine before and know the experience of putting in the correct amount of money. You press a button and out comes your desired snack. And in that instance, you are satisfied because you have given and you have received what you feel like you have earned and deserved. But every once in a while, we put our money into the vending machine. We watch that little wheel spin around and our snack gets stuck. And immediately we're filled with a sense of frustration. We try to maybe ask someone for help, or if you're like me, we start banging on the glass, hoping to disrupt it enough to make the snack fall down. You see, we're angry and we're frustrated because we have given the correct change and not received what we deserve in return. And the truth of the matter is, many Christians, especially Christians who fail to understand the value of the Holy Spirit, can see God like a vending machine. See, our prayers, our faithfulness, our worship are like our spiritual quarters. We give them to God and we expect that God will give us certain blessings and certain things in return. And if we do not receive what we feel like we deserve or someone that we care about deserves, we can become frustrated and despondent with God. We can become angry that he has not returned to us what we feel like we deserve. But God is much more than a vending machine. God is a God who is bigger than what we simply receive from him in blessings. That the Holy Spirit is the very thing that makes God a relational God. Not simply a God who blesses us with good things, but more importantly, a God who we can walk with in our daily life. Now, the scripture teaches us that God is always with us, but experiencing the Holy Spirit makes that reality real to us. A philosopher once talked about this concept when he said that he once saw a boy walking along the road with his father. And almost suddenly, out of nowhere, out of impulse, this father picked up his boy, whisked him in his arms, and began to toss him in the air, watching the boy laughing. And he thought about it. He said, did that love of the father to the son, did that love simply happen in the moment where he was tossing him in the air? No. The father has always loved the son. But that love was experienced in a profound way through the tossing of the air. We might say that the Holy Spirit is like that tossing of the air. It's the gift that God gives to us that makes God not simply a concept, but a reality that we can experience in our daily lives. In our scripture reading today, Jesus is speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And he is offering them all sorts of different instructions about what it will mean to be a Christian after he rises from the dead. And then Jesus gives them such an important gift. He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus recognizes the most important thing that he can do for his disciples before he goes to heaven is not to give them a large sum of money, not to give them some land or inheritance, but to give them the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the thing that will sustain them in good times and in bad. Psalm 23 says that God walks with us through our hills and our valleys, that the Holy Spirit is the thing that we can cling to in both our joys and our sorrows. And so the question becomes, again, what is that Holy Spirit, and how do we ensure that we interact with it? Jesus also says in the Gospels that we are the salt of the world. See, having the Holy Spirit allows us to come alive and experience life in the way it's intended to be. That, yeah, we all can go through the motions. We can live our lives. We can go about our days without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit brings out in us something that was always there, yet we're not always aware of it. A few weeks ago, someone was in the hospital, and I went to visit them. And this person is in their 90s now and is also a really good cook. Unfortunately, they were doing much better. I was visiting them at the end of their hospital visit, and I asked them how everything was going, and they had a pretty good attitude, but they lamented about something that many people lament about when they're in the hospital. They were complaining about the quality of the food, right? Very few people go to the hospital and say, that was the best meal I ever had. In fact, if you think that, I probably need to take you out for dinner. But this person, and so I asked this person, well, what did you have to eat? And they said, I had cream of wheat this morning. And I said, well, that doesn't sound so bad. And they said, well, they don't make cream of wheat the same way that I make cream of wheat. See, when I make cream of wheat, when I boil the water, I put salt in it, because that's what brings out the flavor. You see, having the Holy Spirit is like God bringing out the spiritual flavor in you. It's about God making very real and present his presence in your life, so that way you can be his presence in the world. That to have the Holy Spirit means that you are the salt of the earth, as Jesus says. That you come alive and live the life that God intends, and that you are filled with peace and share that peace with other people. The Holy Spirit also helps us see both the joys and the challenges of life clearly and in the way God intends for us. I remember when I was in third grade and I got an eye exam, and I received the news that I would need to get glasses. And I never had glasses before. And so I went to the eye doctor. I picked out the glasses that I wanted. Because I am a big Chicago Bulls fan, I got some red and black glasses that I thought were really cool. I gave them to the eye doctor and went away and came back later and picked up the glasses. Now, there's moments in our life that we all remember that we'll never forget. Moments that were very profound for us. And the first time I put on a pair of glasses is a moment that I will never forget. I felt like I had superpowers. I felt like I had superpowers because I was able to see for the first time in my life the way I was supposed to see, the way my eyes were supposed to work when they were at full strength. I was able to see it like I felt like every blade of grass. I felt like I could read signs far in the distance. And I didn't know what I was missing because my whole life I simply thought the way I was supposed to see was the way I was supposed to see. But putting on glasses made me see everything and everyone the way I was supposed to see it. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you see the world, your problems, your successes, your challenges, in the way that God intends for you to see them. So that's what the Holy Spirit is, but how to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, there's two things. There's two things, and they're very simple, but they're not always easy to do. And the first one is, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for it. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for it. Sounds simple enough, right? But it's something that we often forget to do in our daily lives. We ask God to bless us. We ask God to protect us. We ask God to give us the things that we need. But how often do we actually say, God, give us the Holy Spirit? But Jesus says in the Gospels, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened for you, that God desires but nothing to give you the Holy Spirit, that God is not withholding the Holy Spirit from you, that God doesn't have some complicated test that you need a number two pencil for to ace in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Is a free gift from God that God wants to give and share for you. And so if you want the Holy Spirit, the first step is to ask for the Holy Spirit. But it's not enough to simply ask for the Holy Spirit and then to go on and just live your day as normally. You are to ask for the Holy Spirit, and then the scripture says that you are to continue in God's word. In the Gospels, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you've ever taken a trip before, you know there's all sorts of different destinations and ways that you can go, different flights you can take, different roads that you can drive to a certain place. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And while you have many choices before you, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to walk in his truth and his light. Sincerely, and earnestly, not perfectly, mind you, none of us are perfectly, but doing the best you can to root yourself in his word, in his truth, above all others. Because the truth of the matter is, there's lots of words and lots of truth presented to us, but if we pursue those, we're left confused and hopeless. I remember about 10 years ago, I got the crazy idea to run a marathon, 26.2 miles. And I set a goal time that I wanted to run this marathon in, and I was running the race, and I knew what I had to run, what my pace needed to be, what my time needed to be at every single mile on the race. And throughout the whole marathon, I was right on schedule because, you see, there were mile markers along the road that told me exactly what mile I was on. When I hit mile 20, there was a mile 20 mile marker. When I hit mile 21, there was a mile 21 mile marker. And so I was running along, and I was getting tired, but I was doing really good. And I was at the mile 21 mile marker, and the next mile marker I saw after 21 was 23. And I thought to myself, hey, I'm doing really good, right? I'm doing really good. I just must have been tired and confused. I must have just completely missed 22. So I can relax. I can take it easy. I can take a break, right? And I was going along, right? And I was expecting, after having passed 23, to see 24. Mind you, taking it easy now because I'm ahead schedule. And what do I see now? Mile 22, right? And I realized someone had screwed up and switched the mile markers. And now I was in a sheer panic because I needed to catch up and I needed to run twice as fast in the race to complete the race in the way that I wanted to. People of God, we are in a world that offers us the same kind of confusing and mixed signals. But as the scriptures say, we are running a spiritual race in this life, and it's not always easy. But if we do as Jesus says, and we continue in his word, it will always be worthwhile. Because continuing in his word is the only way to receive the Holy Spirit. And again, the Holy Spirit is the truth. It's not a truth, or it's not a temporary truth. It is the truth. And so if you continue in Jesus' word, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that you get some sort of spiritual bubble where things never hurt you or life is always easy, but it does mean that you have a peace, as the scripture says, that surpasses all understanding because you realize you have something that can sustain you in good times and bad. After the disciples received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they went out into the world and did amazing things. They started churches and transformed the world with the word of the gospel. Now, it wasn't always easy, but they always knew what the truth was. They always knew where they stood. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, and if you continue in Jesus' word, you will receive that Holy Spirit. You will be the salt of the world. You will see things clearly, both joys and challenges. And you will have peace knowing that you walk with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit walks with you now and forever. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day to remember and lift up the gift of the Trinity, that we can come to you and experience you in three parts, but one God. May you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. May that Spirit walk with us in all situations, and may we continue in the word that sets us free. In your holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.